Maybe he's a little crazy. Doesn't mean he's not telling the truth.
One-legged seafaring man. Oh, can't let him have it. Oh, the treasure.
Are we dead?
I don't think so. I'm too cold to be dead.
We love story!
It's time for the Appleseed, some time just about every day, filled with stories for you and your family. I'm your host, Sam Payne. It's such a pleasure to be with you. I mean, it's always a pleasure to be with you here on the show. Bringing these stories into your homes and into your hearts is what we live for. But we're especially excited these days because we're bringing to you Treasure Island 2020, the time-traveling, swashbuckling adventure for you and your family, reimagined from the classic Robert Louis Stevenson novel, Treasure Island. That novel became the gold standard for readers looking for swashbuckling pirate adventure through generations and generations. My dad read Treasure Island, and my grandpa, too. And we know that you're really going to enjoy what's coming up this hour. It's going to be a great adventure. And we want to recognize our partners at Gen Z Media, who put Treasure Island 2020 together, and whose great work in the field of audio serialized adventures for families can be found at their website, bestrobotever.com. And of course, if you want to listen to all of the episodes of Treasure Island 2020, if after today's episode of The Appleseed you just can't wait to find out what comes next, you can Google Treasure Island 2020 and find the entire podcast to listen to anytime you like. It's fun to bring you the story of Treasure Island 2020 as a serialized audio adventure like this because, of course, Treasure Island, the original novel by Robert Louis Stevenson, was published first as a serialized pirate adventure, a new chapter appearing in every issue of a newspaper called Young Folks. And that's the way a lot of authors of that day first published some of their most popular works. Anxious readers could look forward to a new chapter by their favorite author in the next issue of their favorite media, kind of like Treasure Island 2020. And it's fun to feel that connection with those readers of the original work upon which Treasure Island 2020 is based. Well, there's a lot of fun coming up today in Treasure Island 2020 Episode 2. Yesterday on the Appleseed, you met James Hawkins, who runs a hotel with his mom in Montauk, New York. You met Morgan and Max, James's new friends, and you also met Billy Bones, the mysterious stranger, who looks a lot like a pirate, talks a lot like a pirate, walks a lot like a pirate, and in whom the famous undersea explorer Frank Kincaid seems to display a particular interest. Well, that's a mystery, isn't it? And it's a mystery that will come to vivid life in episode 2. But to get in the pirate mood, how about a little pirate song from our friend Bill Harley? Or should we say today, Bill Harley. Here's Bill and some of his young friends to kick us off today on the Appleseed.
Come on, Dylan. It's time to get out of bed.
Shiver me timbers, you scurvy lout. I'm the captain.
Oh, up in the morning out of bed, I put a bandana on my head. I put a patch upon my eye, run downstairs and then I cry.
Run downstairs and then I cry.
Yo ho ho, don't you know a pirate's life is great so? Cause we don't take baths and we don't take naps and we don't clean our plates so.
When they put food on my plate, I will not touch the stuff I hate. They say, won't you take a bite? I shout out loud with all my might.
I shout out loud with all my might.
Yo ho ho, don't you know a pirate's life is great so? Cause we don't take baths and we don't take naps and we don't clean our plates so.
Then they sit me on their lap, they say, it's time to take a nap.
Yeah!
I might be tired, but I don't go. A crabby pirate just says no.
A crabby pirate just says no.
Yo ho ho, don't you know a pirate's life is great so? 'cause we don't take baths and we don't take naps and we don't clean our plates, so I got a pirate ship and a pirate crew. I got a pirate brother too.
Aye, aye, sir.
Captain is my pirate's rank. We'll make our parents walk the plank.
Make our parents walk the plank.
Yo ho ho, don't you know a pirate's life is great, so 'cause we don't take baths and we don't take naps and we don't clean our plates, so. Dinner at the end of day, I put my pirate stuff away. I take a bath and climb in bed. Pirate dreams are in my head.
Pirate dreams are in my head.
Yo ho ho, don't you know a pirate's life is great, so 'cause we don't take baths and we don't take naps and we don't clean our plates, so.
Bill Harley and his young pirate friends with a song to get us in a piratey mood. He's done it for me, and I can't wait to bring you episode 2 of Treasure Island 2020. We're going to get to it in just a moment. I'm Sam Payne.
You're listening to The Appleseed. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Appleseed. Here's Sam Payne.
It's great to have you back with us on today's episode of The Appleseed. We're so excited to bring you Treasure Island 2020, Part 2. Treasure Island 2020, of course, the time-traveling, swashbuckling adventure for you and your family, reimagined from the classic Robert Louis Stevenson novel, Treasure Island. Now, again, on yesterday's episode of The Appleseed, you met James Hawkins, who, together with his friends Max and Morgan, have befriended Billy Bones, a real live pirate who has also captured the interest of the famous undersea explorer Frank Kincaid. In fact, running from Frank Kincaid, Billy Bones has found himself in a traffic accident. And with that, we begin Treasure Island 2020, Episode 2, right here on The Appleseed.
Billy! Billy! I've got you. You're gonna be okay, Billy.
The treasure. Fine. The Treasure Island.
But where is it?
Not where, lad. When. Take the key.
Back away, son. The ambulance will be here
soon. But I have a first aid kit in my backpack.
Please, give us room.
James! Doesn't the guy know you have to look both ways?
He was trying to get away from Kincaid and his crew.
They're more dangerous than a moving car.
Max, you saw him. Billy was scared to death. What if he really was in danger from those guys?
Kincaid wants the treasure.
The key. Billy gave me the key.
Are we really still doing this?
Look over there. Why are Kincaid and that woman staring at us like that?
They're coming this way.
So, we didn't do anything wrong.
The map he was looking for. I think I saw it.
The treasure map.
Yes, we need to go. Now.
This is ridiculous.
James Hawkins, I want to work with you.
Go now!
Stop, kids!
But
later, Max, hustle!
Okay.
Take off your shoes. We'll walk through the water so they can't follow our tracks on the beach.
My pants are going to get all wet.
Max is afraid of the ocean.
I'm not afraid of the ocean. I'm afraid of the things that swim in the ocean.
Well, I'm afraid of guys in trucks with skull and crossbone flags on them. Into the surf! Go!
Max, hold my phone.
Why?
Just take it!
Fine.
Woo!
You said walk in the water, not dive in it with all your clothes on.
Well, this seemed like more fun.
Why not? Here's my backpack, Max. Hold it high.
It's heavy.
Always be prepared for what you're not prepared for.
You two are insane.
Move this way. I know a good hiding place.
cave in the dunes? How did you know this was here?
My dad showed it to me when I was little, and we came out to visit my Uncle Harold. We used to play pirates here.
Some things don't change.
Max!
We're soaking wet, we still don't have proof Kincaid is a bad guy, and now we're going to walk blindly into that dark cave.
I've got a flashlight in the backpack.
Of course you do.
Inside the cave! Hurry!
Whoa. I didn't expect it to be so... cavey.
Whoa! Or baddie. Did you draw these pictures on the wall? Pirate ships? Skeletons?
They were always here. Shh! Quiet!
What are we doing? I don't hide in caves. I play video games where people hide in caves.
Shh! You don't want them to find us before we find the treasure.
There is no treasure.
But what if it is all real? What if there is gold? Enough to save my mom's hotel? What if Billy is a real pirate?
What does that even mean?
Come out, wherever you are.
Check out this old drawing on the wall.
It looks like the lighthouse, out on the point.
But what's at the top?
I think three people jumping off. One has glasses.
One has a ponytail.
One of them has a backpack, and he's holding something, a book!
With a skull and crossbones on the cover.
Is it me? Or do those look like kids?
They look like us.
BYU Radio presents Treasure Island 2020, a reimagined audio adventure based on the classic novel by Robert Louis Stevenson. Episode 2, The Vortex.
James, wait!
We were waiting in that cave for an hour.
I've gotta warn my mom.
Warn her about what?
Kincaid, he's gone for now. But he'll be back, here at the motel, looking for us.
What happened to Billy Bones was an accident. He is a paranoid, crazy person.
Morgan, is that what you believe?
I don't know, Hawkins. Maybe it was all in Billy's head. The black spot, the treasure, things like that don't happen in the real world.
James, where have you been?
Mom, what's wrong?
Kincaid, his people, they came back looking for you, asking about a map. What do they want?
What did you say to them?
James, don't go in there.
No! What happened in here? The place is trashed.
Whoa.
What a mess.
He threatened to ruin the motel if I didn't cooperate, and when I refused...
They smashed everything. The computer. The cash register. No.
I'm sorry, James. They were trying to send a message.
Dad's spyglass. The one we used to scout for boats.
That awful woman dropped it to the ground and smashed it with her boot. I'm so sorry. I know how much it means to you.
Meant.
James, what's going on? Why are the three of you soaking wet? Did you go swimming in your clothes?
Mom, listen to me. Billy Bones is in the hospital. And Kincaid put him there.
The hospital?
It's heat stroke, Miss Hawkins. I told James to wear a hat and sunblock, but...
I'm not crazy. There's a treasure. I don't know where it is, but Billy has a map. And we have to find it before Kincaid does. Come on, guys. Max? Morgan? Come on!
Stay away from Kincaid. He's dangerous.
I'm tired of being safe all the time.
I'm your mother. It's my job to keep you safe.
What has safe ever done for us? Safe is pretending that the motel is doing fine while we're barely paying our bills and—
James!
I'll find that treasure. If I have to do it all by myself.
I'm with you, Hawkins.
Morgan, Are you serious? What do I tell Mom and Dad?
Like they'd even know. Or care. Go back to Aunt Martha if you want, Max. I'm going with James.
I'll stock up my backpack.
James Hawkins, stop.
Mom, I don't expect you to understand. But if the treasure is real, it could change everything. Dad always said...
Your father isn't here, James. I am.
I love you, but I have to do this. For our family.
James!
Come on, Morgan.
Max?
Fine.
Always be prepared for what you're not prepared for.
I cannot believe we're sneaking into a hospital to visit a crazy person.
We're not sneaking, and Billy's not crazy. Well, maybe he's a little crazy. Doesn't mean he's not telling the truth.
About pirate treasure on Long Island.
Adventure, Max. Adventure!
Excuse me, nurse. We're looking for a patient.
Your patient's name?
Billy B-
No, don't. Doe. John Doe.
He doesn't have a real name?
He does. It's just... he was hit by a car.
Oh, you mean Captain Jack Sparrow?
Huh?
I'm sorry, that's what we've been calling him here, you know, because of the pirate outfit.
Got it.
He's a friend of yours?
Yes, he's our Uncle Billy. He plays a pirate at birthday parties.
Is he going to be okay?
Lucky to be alive, that one. His head must be as hard as a coconut.
And just as hollow.
Can we see him?
Oh, he's resting, and you've only got a few minutes before visiting hours are over.
We won't be long, I promise.
With that bandage on his head, he looks even more like a pirate.
Billy? Billy, can you hear me?
One-legged seafaring man. Oh, can't let him have it. Oh, the treasure.
Don't worry. We'll find it first. But we need a clue. In my dream, if it was a dream, you showed me a map on your chest.
15 men on a dead man's chest.
Not a sea chest, oh, Billy. A tattoo on your chest. We need to see it, to see if it's real.
What's that?
Look, down in the parking lot.
Kincaid and his crew.
A big crew, and they're coming inside the hospital.
They're coming for Billy.
I'm sorry, kids, but visiting hours are over.
Please, miss. We just want another minute to say goodbye to our Uncle Billy.
Dear Uncle Billy.
Very well, but be quick about it.
We have to move him.
Move him? Where?
Somewhere Kincaid won't find him.
You can't just move someone from the ICU.
I'll keep the nurse busy while you two wheel his bed out of here.
Are you serious? We could get into trouble. A lot of trouble.
I know, right? Nurse? Oh, nurse!
Come on, Max. We don't have much time. We passed the ladies' room down the hall. We can stash him in there. Push!
Ladies' room?
It's a single, hopefully not in use. Faster, Max.
I'm pushing as fast as I can.
Here we are. I'll get the door. It's open and empty.
Fantastic.
Someone's coming out of the elevator. Lock the door and don't open it to anyone but me or Morgan.
Wait, you want me to stay with Billy in the ladies' room?
Lena, lock down the floor. Guard the elevator.
They're here. I'm closing the door.
I'll check in with James Hawkins.
Hello, Mr. Kincaid. Nice flowers.
What are you doing here?
Same as you, coming to visit Billy Bones. Nurse said visiting hours are over, though.
So I've been told. Walk with me, son.
Actually, I'd rather...
I said, walk with me.
Ow! Let go of my arm!
James, are you okay?
I'm fine. Mr. Kincaid is here to see Billy.
Let's go check in with our friend, shall we? What? Where is he?
He's not in there. A man in Billy's condition really shouldn't be running all over town.
We'd better tell someone.
What did you do, Hawkins?
Me? I just got here. I'm as shocked as you are.
Time to go. Visiting hours are over.
Where is the patient?
What? Jack Sparrow's gone?
He was just here a minute ago.
So weird. Gotta go.
Code
See
Green.
See you around, Mr.
Code
K.
Code Green, we have a missing patient.
Search the grounds. Find him and bring him back to the lab.
Into the stairwell. Morgan, now.
I'm right with you.
We made it. We have to warn Max that...
Max is right here. I'm guessing that alarm is for Billy?
Of course it is. What are you doing out here?
Where's Billy Bones?
Gone.
What do you mean, gone?
I mean, when the alarm went off, I stepped out into the hall to see if the coast was clear. Then I went back into the bathroom, and Billy was gone.
How?
Must have slipped out the window.
In retrospect, I don't believe he was as hurt as he was acting.
So now he's out there? Kincaid's looking for him!
And looking for the treasure!
Good thing we have the map.
If only we had the map, then we... What did you say?
I said it's a good thing we have the treasure map.
Max, the map, if it even exists, is tattooed on Billy's chest.
Duh. Well, you were busy with Kincaid, I was alone with Billy, and my phone...
You took a picture before he ran away?
2500 by 1200 pixel resolution.
Max! You're a genius!
Yeah, I know.
The map! It wasn't a dream. Look, there it is, a treasure map, tattooed on Billy's chest!
It's the map of an island, just like he told you. But it's not Long Island. It's not like any island I've ever seen.
The Treasure Island.
The Treasure Island.
There's gold, he said. More gold than you can dream of in 1,000 years. Enough to pay off all my mom's debts. Enough to pay for college.
Enough to buy a college.
It can't be true.
There must be a way to find out. The library? Google?
The lighthouse!
Huh?
The lighthouse. It's like a museum of old shipwreck artifacts and books.
The lighthouse in the drawing on the cave wall?
Oh, no.
With the three kids jumping off the top?
Do I even need to tell you how crazy this is?
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Make your next party a big hit with Richard Redbeard, the pirate comedian.
Why couldn't the pirate crew play cards? Because the captain was always standing on the deck.
Richard Redbeard is perfect for anniversary parties, family reunions, and corporate events.
Why can't pirates learn the alphabet? Because they spent years at sea. Get it? Because it's a homonym.
Everybody loves a jolly pirate, and Richard Redbeard is great at children's parties.
I wanted a unicorn party.
All right, how's about a narwhal joke?
Okay.
Why was the narwhal kicked off the volleyball team? He was always spiking the ball.
Schedule Richard Redbeard, the pirate comedian, for your next event, and your guests won't make you walk the plank.
Who's with me? Can I get a amen?
Richard Redbeard, the pirate comedian.
And now, back to the show.
Okay, so the artifacts and books are in the basement of the lighthouse. My dad used to take me here when I was little.
Kind of a small lighthouse. When was this place built?
I don't know, 1700s.
Doesn't look like it gets a lot of visitors.
Jamie Hawkins, is that you?
Miss McGinty! Make sure you speak up. Hello, Mrs. McGinty. You're looking lovely as ever.
The weather? Looks like rain to me, but you never know. Are these your friends?
Max and Morgan. They're dying to see the museum.
Who's dying? They seem so young.
The museum, Miss McGinty. We have a project for summer school.
What was that?
Summer school!
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. It's closing time. Come back tomorrow.
Tomorrow will be too late.
James Hawkins, are you sure it's for summer school?
We can't fool you, ma'am. We're searching for pirate treasure.
Pirates, is it? You know, they once terrorized these very shores. We're lucky they're long since gone from the face of the earth. Come inside. Come inside!
What is this room?
The museum storeroom. Over the years, everything ends up here. Rusty anchors, harpoons, nautical charts, and old books.
Hopeless. It's more like a dumpster dive than a place to do serious research.
I mean, we don't even know what we're looking
for. Look, it's the book. with the skull and crossbones on it.
The same as the one the kid who looked like me was holding in the drawing.
That wasn't you.
It's a pirate book. Bloody Buccaneers.
That's the title. Would it hurt them to dust every 100 years or so?
Dear reader, herewith the author humbly presents a compendium of desperate crimes on the high seas. Let these examples of bloodthirsty pirates and their lust for gold be a cautionary tale for all who turn these pages.
Careful. Those pages might crumble if you breathe on them.
There must be 100 pirates listed in the index. Where do we start?
Billy mentioned a Captain Flint. See if you can find him.
Sure, let's look for 300-year-old pirate captains.
Exactly.
Edwards, Everton, Fleming... Flint! Captain Flint. He had no first name. He was the bloodiest buccaneer of them all.
The Scourge of the Caribbean. From the year of our Lord, 1746, until his mysterious disappearance in 1754.
Interesting, but so what?
He captained the dreaded pirate ship, the Walrus. Among his crew of seven was the first mate, William Bones, otherwise known as Billy!
Billy Bones.
Don't tell me you're suggesting that Billy is 300 years old.
You saw how he reacted to cars and planes, like he'd never seen them before.
Well, yeah, but...
Right before I found him, there was this big explosion of light, like the sky had split open. I know it sounds insane, but what if that vortex they talked about was like a way to jump through time?
Are you serious?
There's something stuck between the pages of the book. A piece of ancient parchment.
Can you read it?
It's pretty crinkled. If you find this note, you're looking in the right place. Go to the treasure island. Follow the map, bring the key. That's how I'll know.
The treasure island.
But to get here, you can't run from the sea. You must go through it. James, Morgan, and Max. I need you to go all the way through it.
James, Morgan, and Max? Whoever wrote this knew us?
But that's impossible. The note looks like it's hundreds of years old.
Okay, Max, you tell me. How did this note get here? How did Billy get here?
Good question, Mr. Hawkins. But a better one is how do we get there?
Kincaid!
You saved me a lot of trouble, Jim. I'll have that book, please.
And I'll take your cell phone, Mr. Goodwin. The one with the photograph of the tattoo. You're due for another upgrade.
Run!
What?
Just run, Max!
Which way? They're blocking the stairs to the bottom.
You remember the cave drawing. Run to the top.
Hurry! Up the steps.
They're right behind us.
Go! Out the door!
This is it. The observation deck.
Now what?
We're trapped up here.
Give it up, James. We don't want trouble. We just want that map.
Give me your phone, Max.
What?
Just do it! Don't come any closer, Mr. Kincaid, or I'll throw the phone into the water!
You wouldn't!
It's my mom calling!
You're answering your phone now?
Mom, I'm kind of busy right now.
Don't come any closer!
I know. Mrs. McGinty called me. She told me you might be in some trouble. The police are on
the
their
police?
Way.
The police?
The police, huh? Can't wait to see my old friend, Chief Larkin.
Mom?
I asked Mrs. McGinty to help me out in case you needed to make a quick escape.
A quick escape?
Remember when your father took us around the harbor the last time we came here together?
I remember. He promised to take me to Liberty Island once the museum was finished. To show me all the secrets.
He left your sense of adventure, James. So do I.
I love you too, Mom. I'm going to find that treasure.
James, there's something I need to tell you about all of this. Your father sitting out in the water.
Mom, are you there? Mom?
Love, James.
Time's up, Hawkins.
James, what are we going to do?
Guys, do you trust me?
No.
We've known you for less than 24 hours.
I just want to talk.
Of course I trust you.
Then jump.
Excuse me. Jump off the lighthouse into the water.
Kids,
I mean, are we just taking suggestions from cave drawings now?
Max, for once in your life, be brave.
Why? I've done okay this far.
Give us the phone. Now.
It's now or never.
Max, put your glasses in your pocket and take my hand.
I could be making pot the creme right now.
Jump out so we clear the rocks.
Rocks?
Ready?
Wait.
Set.
Jump!
My mom had Miss McGinty leave it here for me. It's not much, but it's all we've got.
Help me in.
Here, Max, grab my hand. One, two, three.
Made it.
Morgan, cast off the line while I lower the outboard motor.
On it.
After them! Stop them! They won't get far!
Here goes nothing!
James, they're coming. Might want to get the boat started.
Believe me, I'm trying!
Try again! Hurry! Got it! Go!
Go, 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 go!
Stop them!
James, you did it!
We did it!
Can I open my eyes now? Where are we going?
Just past those markers. There's nothing but ocean. We can hug the coast and find a place to ditch the dinghy and head back to town.
Wouldn't it be easier to call the cops?
And tell them what? We stumbled on a 300-year-old pirate and someone's out to steal his treasure?
He's not 300 years old.
Morgan, take this page I ripped from the book and read what else it says.
Legend has it that Captain Flint buried a great treasure on an uncharted island. Some say six crosses are still there. One cross for each of the crew members he killed to make sure that no one else could find the treasure.
Wait, didn't it say that there are seven crew members?
One member of the crew was never accounted for.
Billy Bones!
There's a boat coming towards us. A really, really fast boat.
Kincaid's at the wheel!
Help! It's called the Helm!
Who cares what you call it? We can't outrun him!
We can try!
Turn around, Mr. Hawkins, before it's too late!
Is it me, or did that storm just come out from nowhere?
What's happening? We should turn back.
And still right into Kincaid and its pirates, we keep going. We go forward until...
Oh my, what is that?
It looks like a whirlpool!
Vortex.
What?
Kincaid used the word vortex.
It's pulling us in. It's too strong.
We're not gonna make it.
It's going to drag us down.
No, don't turn. Make straight for the vortex.
What?
Are you crazy?
The note said we can't run from the sea. We have to go all the way through it. Hawkins, look at me. We can do this.
No, we can't. That giant whirlpool will suck us down to the bottom of the ocean.
Okay.
Okay, what?
Okay, we can do this. Hold on!
Stop. What are you doing? James!
What are you doing, James Hawkins? We can tow you out if you give us a map.
It's got us! The vortex has got us!
Hold on! We're going down!
Hard and harder!
Down and around!
Hard and harder! Hard and harder!
On second thought, maybe this wasn't such a good idea!
Are we dead?
I don't think so. I'm too cold to be dead.
The whirlpool must have spit us out on the beach.
In the middle of winter, there's snow on the sand.
Look up behind the dunes. Where did all the houses go?
Where are the cars in the parking lot?
Where's the parking lot?
Guys, where are we?
I think the better question is, when are we? Someone's coming. Can you see who it is?
What's that on his shoulder? A parrot?
Hawkins! His leg, look!
A wooden leg. Excuse me, sir? Who are you?
Silver's the name. Long John Silver, they calls me. And who might ye be?
Thank you. Treasure Island 2020, Episode 2. And you can find out what happens to James and Morgan and Max, at least what happens next, on tomorrow's episode of The Appleseed when we bring you Treasure Island 2020, Episode 3. It's not long to wait, but if you just can't wait to find out what happens next, or if you want to hear Episode 1 again or share Episode 2 with your friends, just Google Treasure Island 2020 and you can listen to the entire 10-episode series whenever you like. There's a lot more pirate fun coming up on the Appleseed, including an old Irish story from the Irish-American storyteller Yvonne Healy. You won't want to miss it. We're going to get to it in just a few minutes. I'm Sam Payne.
You're listening to The Appleseed. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to The Appleseed. Here's Sam Payne.
It's great to have you back with us on today's episode of The Appleseed. Before the break, you heard part two of the 10-part series, Treasure Island 2020. We're going to bring you every episode of the time-traveling, swashbuckling adventure over the next little bit. And we're glad that you're with us, of course, following along here on The Appleseed. But you can find the entire 10-part series by Googling Treasure Island 2020. If you just can't wait to find out what's next, or of course, if you want to go back and listen to episodes that you may have missed or share them with your friends, that's a great way to do it. Now, of course, Treasure Island 2020 is a reimagining of the classic novel Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson. At the end of today's episode, you met, the character that everybody thinks of when they think of Treasure Island, Long John Silver. You met him for just a moment, and you're going to get better acquainted tomorrow. Long John Silver is one of the iconic literary characters. He's played in our series by a terrific New York actor named Graham Stevens. But he's been played by all kinds of iconic actors. He's been played by Charlton Heston. He's been played by Tim Curry. He's been played, of course, in the classic Disney film of Treasure Island by Robert Newton. And he's fascinated us since he was put down on the page in the 1880s. Now, Robert Louis Stevenson based Long John Silver on a friend of his, a poet named William Ernest Henley. Henley is described as a great, glowing, massive-shouldered fellow with a big red beard and a crutch, jovial, astoundingly clever, and with a laugh that rolled like music. He had an unimaginable fire and vitality. He swept one off one's feet. Well, that was Stevenson's stepson, Lloyd Osborne, describing the poet William Ernest Henley. William Ernest Henley wasn't a villain like Long John Silver, but like John Silver, Henley was charismatic and powerful, and also he had one leg. He had lost his left leg to complications from tuberculosis when he was about 20. And later on, his right foot became infected too. And Henley spent about 3 years in the hospital undergoing a treatment that would save that foot from being amputated, too. In the hospital, he wrote poems, including a famous poem called Invictus. You may have heard it, or at least part of it. And as you hear it, you may think of Henley himself struggling against his illness in the hospital. The poem goes like this. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced or cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how strait the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Henley, the poet behind that poem, was the inspiration for Long John Silver. Robert Louis Stevenson said he imagined the famous pirate to be like Henley, with all of Henley's good characteristics removed. Henley wasn't the only member of his family to be immortalized in a timeless adventure story. Henley was a friend of Robert Louis Stevenson, but he was also a friend of J.M. Barrie, who wrote Peter Pan. And Henley's little daughter, Margaret, in a little kid way that you can almost hear in your head, called Mr. Barrie her friend, only she used the term fwend. In fact, it's even cuter than that. She used the term Fwendy Wendy. And from that nickname came the name Wendy in the Peter Pan stories. Well, all the pirate movies you know, and all the typical ways pirates look with peg legs and parrots on their shoulders, even the ways they talk, they have their origins in Long John Silver from Treasure Island. And I'm talking here about everyone up to and including Johnny Depp's Captain Jack Sparrow and all his pals in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. We talked about that a little bit with these guys, David Kreitzman and Ben Strauss of Gen Z Media, who helped us create Treasure Island 2020. Here's David.
We talked a lot about how all of the things that are in Treasure Island are now taken for granted.
Yeah.
The things we know about pirates and about adventure stories in general, some of them were invented in that book. And so for kids reading it now, they might go, oh, I've seen Johnny Depp be a pirate.
Exactly.
I've seen the peg leg and the pirate. And you go, but no, this was first. This was first. Johnny Depp was not first. So that's a challenge, I think, because you can't count on kids being in awe of it the way kids would have been when they read it the first time.
Yeah.
You know, before kids who are steeped in everything from Peter Pan to Pirates of the Caribbean.
And why would they be? I mean, it's all built on the shoulders of giants, and that was the first, and now things have been perhaps, if not improved, at least changed, and they're more familiar. And so this is not intended to be an homage to the book. What it is intended to be a retelling of a great story in a way which is fresh and hopefully very, very compelling for the listeners, something which they're going to recognize as very, very modern, very, very immersive, and a lot of fun. And we use a classic story, the first of many, we hope, which will do that.
But we love the idea. I mean, we talk about being your father's story, the idea that your father would sit down with your kids, you know, the three generations of people, and talk about what it meant to him to read that story for the first time and hope that his grandchildren have the same experience.
And how great would it be after they listen to the retelling of it, go back and you read, you know, you all read the original talk about that.
David Kreitzman and Ben Strauss of Gen Z Media talking a little bit about Treasure Island and the way that it still affects us, the way it still impacts us. And if listening to Treasure Island 2020 drives you to your library to get your hands on a copy of Robert Louis Stevenson's original novel, well, then all the better, right? We want to remind you again that you can find all of the episodes of Treasure Island 2020 just by Googling Treasure Island 2020. That way, you can listen to episodes you may have missed. You can get ahead if you just can't wait to find out what's next. And of course, you can share Treasure Island 2020 with your friends. Now, Treasure Island wasn't the first pirate story. It was, however, as a piece of trivia, the very first live-action movie that the Walt Disney Company tackled back in 1950. But it wasn't the first pirate story, and it certainly wouldn't be the last. We want to bring you a story now from the Irish-American storyteller Yvonne Healy. This is a story that has its roots way back in Irish mythology, a very old story about a pirate king and his downfall at the hands of Lua, the Shining One. Yvonne Healy on the Appleseed.
My children say I have an evil eye. They say this just as they're sneaking a chocolate chip cookie out of the cupboard. From another part of the house, my voice cries out, "Drop it!" It may be that I have this talent because I am a parent, or it may be because all of my people come from Ireland. And long, long ago, Ireland was conquered by the evil, humpbacked sea pirates. The Fomorians. The Fomorians took control from the magical giants, the Tuatha Dé Danann, who had ruled the land with magic and wonder. Those sea pirates won, not because they were better warriors, but because they had a secret weapon. Their king, Balor of the Evil Eye. You see, Balor had one eye in the middle of his forehead. Whomever that eye gazed upon fell down stone cold dead in an instant. Luckily, the eyelid was too heavy for Balor to lift on his own. He required four henchmen to help. When the battle was going against them, the Fomorians would bring out their king on a litter and place the litter at the front of the battle. Knowing what was coming, all the Fomorians would hurry to stand behind their king. Balor would then give the signal, and four strong men would lift their long poles with little hooks on the ends. They would hook their poles under Balor's eyelid while they heaved and strained. The eye opened completely, and the unsuspecting enemy would fall down. Stone cold dead. So it was that the Tuatha De Danann were pushed back to the castle of Tara, where once they had ruled Ireland in generosity and grace, for nothing could defeat Balor. Nothing, that is, except his own grandchild. "Balor is no fool," he cried out when his twin grandsons were born. He wrapped those babies in a blanket. Then, with a magical curse, he called down a giant seabird. "Take this bundle and drop it in the cold North Sea." The seabird scooped up the bundle and flew north. Just as the coast of Ireland came to an end below, the pin fastening the bundle popped open, and one corner of the blanket was free. One baby escaped and fell downside towards the Irish Sea. The very waves of the ocean reached up to cradle that baby. The white caps revealing themselves as the beard of Manannan Mac Lir, god of the sea. Cradling the baby in his arms, the sea god named the baby Lua Samildahen. Lua the Shining One, for a smile so bright that the birds were charmed from the trees. So it was that Lua grew up learning everything he could from his uncle, the sea god, and his foster mother, Teilta, the queen of the forest. Until this moment, now. The youth, Lua, has finished his studies and his journey and stands outside the castle gates of Tara, home to King Nuada of the Silver Arm and the banished Tuatha De Danann. He sees only the dark oak gates, thick as a man's arm, fastened shut. On either side are pillars in which are set skulls of beasts of the forest, with razor-sharp tusks, which can cut a man's leg in two. A warning to all seeking entry of the danger in transgressing Irish hospitality. Lua takes a deep breath. He lifts his arm to knock. A small peephole door, before unseen, now swings open, revealing the tiny, wizened, dried-apple face of the doorkeeper.
"Dear Dabada, God's life be in ye," cries the gatekeeper. "Who is it knocking at the gates of Tara?" "I am Lua Samildahen, come to free Ireland." "Ah, are you now? Well, don't you know, none can enter but has perfected a skill that none of the heroes within possess. Be off with your boyo now."
And the door slammed shut. Lua was taken aback, but he'd not come so far to give up easily. With another breath, he lifted his arm and again knocked.
"Dear Dabada, God's life be in you. Oh, chew, is it? Who do you think you are to be taking me away from me supper?" "I am Lua, master of poetry." "I Don't you know we've got Orm himself inside? He invented the very letters of the alphabet themselves. So we've no need for yet another poet. Begone. But wait, wait. I am Lua, Master Sailor. I've got one. I am Lua, Master Healer. Got one. Lua, Master Farmer. Got one. Lua, Master Sorcerer. Got one. And so it went on and on through a very litany of skills, any one of which would take a lifetime to perfect until... Sir, I've got one last to offer, and if you've any such as this, I'll go away and never darken your door again. I am Lua, Master of All Arts. At that, the oak gate swung open, and so entered the very first Master of Arts, plural. The Tuatha welcomed Lua because of his many skills and his shining smile, and gave unto him the leadership for 1 year and 1 day. Lead them he did into battle against those horrible humpback tax-collecting sea pirates. On the plains of Moritora, the magical giants fought valiantly. In their midst, Lua seemed to flow with a light shining within him, a light as bright as the heart of the sun itself. It seemed light reached down from the heavens into his heart, there meeting a fiery light that shot up from the core of the earth. The two lights joined in power and flowed out through his arms into his shield and sword. The enemy looked upon Lua and were blinded, their dark hearts unable to gaze upon the light, and in their blindness his sword swung, cutting them down, until at last Lua found himself standing below the tent of the Fomorian king. Show yourself, you evil-hearted, baby-killing sea pirate! The tent flap moved aside, revealing Balor upon his litter. Four henchmen carried it to the battle's edge and lowered to the ground.
Who is it who does not fear the king of the sea pirates?
I am Lua Samaldahen, the Shining One, come to free Ireland.
Balor gave the signal, and his henchmen hooked their long poles into his heavy eyelid and began to heave and to strain.
What kind of fool is it who looks upon Balor of the Evil Eye?
I am Lua Lafada, Lua of the Long Arm.
The Fomorian soldiers raced to line up behind their king in neat straight rows of anticipation.
Whose line shall die ignominiously on these fields of Moitora?
Lua now reached into his chest pocket and took out a small sea stone, small as a baby's heart, worn smooth by waves, carrying it from the sea back to Ireland's shores.
I am Lua, grandson of Balor.
Lua fitted that small sea stone into his slingshot, whirled it over his head, and let fly. That tiny stone flew through the air and hit Balor right in the middle of his eye. The stone pushed Balor's eye clear through his brain, and as Balor fell back, his eye wedged in the back of his head, where it gazed out over those neat rows of Fomorian soldiers, who instantly fell down stone cold dead. Thus it was that the Tuatha Danann again ruled Ireland with magic and grace. And so it is that if ever you are about to do something a little questionable and you stop, hearing a voice either real or remembered, perhaps the owner of that voice was part Irish and had an eye in the back of their head.
Lua, the Shining One, an ancient pirate story told by Irish-American storyteller Yvonne Healy. That's going to wrap it up for us today. Be sure to tune in to tomorrow's episode of The Appleseed, where you'll hear Treasure Island 2020, Episode 3. You're going to find out what happens next to James, Morgan, and Max, and the mysterious Long John Silver, a mysterious guy on a mysterious beach where our heroes seem to mysteriously have found themselves. I'm Sam Payne. It's a pleasure to have had you with us today. Our sound engineer is Stuart Foster. The producer of The Appleseed is Jeff Simpson. You can find us online at byuradio.org/appleseed for more than 1,000 episodes in our archive. And we'll see you next time on The Appleseed.
Thanks for joining us for an hour of stories, music, and conversation made for you and your family and brought to you by The Appleseed. The show is a production of BYU Radio. We'll see you next time.